This is Tom Wieland. When I'm not hiking the Grand Canyon with my wife, I'm listening to John Carrot on the Green Apple Podcast.
Welcome to episode 138 of the Green Apple Podcast. This is John Garrett, and each Wednesday I interview a professional who, just like me, is known for a hobby or a passion or an interest outside of work, making them stand out like a green apple in a pretty boring red apple world. And to put it another way, it's encouraging people to find their and. As in, my guest Tom Wieland is an accountant and hiked the Grand Canyon and plays tennis and loves Notre Dame sports. And as you'll hear, his passion for hiking especially has helped him get a better perspective on everything, which in turn makes him a better leader. And this isn't unique to only Tom, as most of us have a hobby or a passion or something that sharpens some aspect of us that can benefit our careers, whether it's long distance running for mental toughness, or music to make the numbers on paper come to life, or community theater or stand-up comedy for presentation skills, or all the wide variety of guests that I've had here on the show. And these are just a few of the examples of the hobbies and passions that can make you better at your job, but only if you let them. And I've got a quick favor to ask. If you like the show and are listening on iTunes or your favorite Android app, don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss any of the future episodes, because I love sharing such interesting stories each and every week. And this week is no different with my guest, Tom Wieland. He's the National Insurance Services Practice Leader at BKD out of the St. Louis office. And I know you're a very, very busy man. So thanks so much, Tom, for being with me today on the Green Apple Podcast.
Thanks for having me, John. I appreciate it.
Oh, man, I'm so excited to have you on. I mean, you can vouch for me being a PwC employee. I mean, we go back to the very beginning. This is amazing.
I actually saw you doing double entry accounting. I know you had trouble with the second entry. The first one you seemed to master. The second one, it was always a challenge for you. So it's not surprising you decided to do something else.
Right. I remember having to, that's so funny though, but actually I remember the first time that I had to balance cash and I was just like, I don't know why I can't do this. This is ridiculous. Like, I don't even know why I have to do this. But anyway, but we go way back to the original PwC days, which is fantastic. But maybe I gave everyone a little bit of an introduction to you, but maybe in your own words, you know, what are you up to now?
Well, I've been specializing in tax my whole career, and for the lion's share of that, tax as it relates to insurance companies, life companies, health companies, property casualty companies. I came over to BKD a few years ago, and I oversee the insurance practice. So consulting, auditing, and tax kind of report up to me somewhat loosely. And we have some really good people in the consulting and audit areas that really don't need me other than to help organizationally and to help with budgeting and getting resources. But so I oversee the practice, but at the same time, I'm still practicing on the tax side. So I kind of wear two hats.
Wow.
Yeah. I've got a giant melon of a head, so right. those are big hats. Yeah,
this is actually true. Actually, for everybody listening, this is, he's not joking.
That's why it's a podcast instead of on TV.
Right. Yeah. Right, that's funny. That's so funny. Yeah, but one question that I love to ask everyone, and I mean, I for some reason never asked you, is just how did you get into accounting?
Well, this probably plays pretty well with your theme of what the typical accountant is or is not. So when I was at Notre Dame, just like you, and I was told that I didn't have the personality to be an accountant, even though I really liked accounting. So I decided to major in finance. And after I graduated, I worked for a year and then I went to law school. And in law school, I kind of gravitated to the tax courses. And when I got out of law school, it was after the 86 Tax Reform Act, and that's 1986, not 1886 for those listeners.
Okay.
And all of the accounting firms were hiring lawyers because they were trying to figure out what this new tax code meant. So I happened to fall into that, and I thought, well, I'll work for 2 years in public. I'll go back and get my credits at night so I can sit for the CPA exam, and then I'll be a JD CPA, and I will be an estate planning attorney and hang out my own shingle. And I came in, I did the first part of that. I went back at night and got my credits and became a CPA, and then loved public accounting so much. 31 years later, I'm still here.
Wow. So. That's awesome, man. Yeah. That's crazy. I mean, it's weird how when we look back, it's a straight line, but when we're in the moment, it's a zigzag and helter skelter, and I don't know what's going to go on. And yeah, everything happens for a reason.
Absolutely.
That's great. Yeah. So when you're not busy ruling the tax world for BKD, what sort of things do you love to do outside of work?
Well, I get fairly involved in my church and like to play poker with my friends. I play a lot of tennis, not as much golf as I'd like. It's just hard to squeeze that in.
Yeah.
My wife and I have done some nice hiking together. So last year at this time, actually, we were at the bottom of the Grand Canyon camping for 4 nights before hiking back out.
Wow. So, that's impressive.
She got out before I did. I think she was hoping, well, not hoping, but I think it was 50-50 as to whether she cared if I got out or not. I think I'm overinsured. So there were some times when she was looking back and kind of disappointingly seeing me, and it's like, oh, he looks like he's going to make it. Doggone it.
So we're going to do it again next year. Like, until you.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's hilarious. That's so funny. And I'm sure Notre Dame football as well. I know we've talked about that quite a bit.
Yes. Yeah, although the women's basketball team did very well this year, so that was fun to watch.
Yeah, women's basketball winning the national championship. I mean, buzzer beaters and 2 back-to-back games.
Yep.
I mean, that's so cool. Yeah. That's super exciting.
And we won the fencing national championship, too. Don't forget that. For all you fencers that are listening in right now.
See? There you go. You know, I haven't had a fencer on the Green Apple podcast yet. So if anyone is listening that fences.
Foiled again.
Hello.
Oh, that's a bad. Right? Hello.
Yeah, but that's, I think, how we connected to begin with was as Notre Dame alums, mm-hmm. and being able to talk sports. And that's what's so cool is like how something not work related at all is what actually made us connected and still connected to this day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And what do you think it is that why the default mode is to not share that kind of stuff, the things that we love to do outside of work? I mean, I guess college is easier to share because it seems like it's related to work, but you know, the other things, why do you think that people are so reluctant to do that?
Maybe there are two reasons. I think one of them is some people are just shy and they don't feel comfortable talking about themselves and their own experiences. And I can respect that. The one that I struggle more with is when people believe it's taboo to talk about those things. So, you know, if you're uncomfortable talking about, you know, your relationship situation or what you're what you like to do on weekends, I think that's fine. But if you feel that you can't share it because people will look down upon you or make judgments about you, I think that's unfortunate that people would feel that way. I always feel that it adds a depth to a relationship. It helps you find common themes, even if, let's say, I like to hike and you like to water ski or something like that. At least it's an outdoor activity. It's something that humanizes that other person. And people gravitate toward people that show kind of a depth of character and a depth of interests, and people that are empathetic and are willing to kind of show that they're human beings and they're vulnerable and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it is crazy. I mean, you know, not the drama sort of stuff, but I mean, just things that really fuel you, you know, things that you're really passionate about that you can put pictures of in your office, you know, sort of a thing to be like, hey, yeah, I'm a real person that goes and hikes the Grand Canyon. When people make that taboo and it's not professional or there isn't a charge code to talk about these things, it's like, man, that's insane. Like that's, right. You know, that's completely insane. And so is there anything that you do as a partner to show the people around you that it's okay?
I think probably what I do most is just try to set an example. So when I take staff and managers and senior managers and directors out to see clients, I think very early on, they can see that a lot of the walls that we put up in business kind of crumble. I am who I am, and whether you like it or not, that's kind of up to you, but I'm never afraid to be myself. And part of being myself is I know my clients. I generally know, you know, their relationships and, you know, are they married or they have children or do they like cats or what their favorite things to do are. So I think when I bring the staff out, they see that. And then they're more than willing because they see there's some effectiveness to it. And I don't want to make it sound like it's mercenary, like I'm doing these things just to get business. But I really do it to develop friendships and relationships. And because I feel I'm being more genuine. And maybe that's the most important thing. If you're being genuine, then people just really like that. They might not like what you're genuine about, but they respect the fact that you are genuine and that there's not an artifice there. And I think that rubs off on the people that have worked with me over the years. And I think that allows them to be more human. And a lot of those barriers to developing deep, long-lasting relationships kind of melt away if you're genuine.
Right. Yeah. Cause I mean, you know, like you said, you know, it's not, you know, mercenary about it. You're going to get business either way. So you might as well make it fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, we got to be here either way. So I might as well enjoy the people that I'm around.
Exactly.
I might as well enjoy the clients that I have. And the byproduct is better business.
Right. That's a great point. You know, if we're in the seventh ring of hell during busy season, let's just have a little fun while we're at it, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, at least know who you're going down with. You know, it's like, right? This is the end of days. At least I know that you really like to water ski or whatever thing was. Yeah. Right? Yeah, because I mean, that's what I always found interesting, you know, when I was doing, you know, the internal audit or the merger acquisition type stuff was, you know, if we're in the middle of this, you know, why not have some laughs or why not have just a couple of moments of reprieve to catch your breath and, you know, just something like that where, you know, I'm not sure if that's always allowed or even an idea for anyone to even think that way.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And so I guess, you know, is this something that you talk about at work, you know, the hiking or the, you know, Notre Dame sports or tennis or things like that?
Well, I'm in my office right now and I can look around and I've got a Lou Holtz statue there. I've got a bunch of, this is kind of interesting, but if somebody passes away and I get a mass card or a holy card at like the wake, I sometimes put some of those on my wall. I mean, that's kind of shows a religious bent, but I don't feel any compulsion not to do it. I've got a picture of myself golfing and there's a clown in the picture. I'm not sure where that clown came from.
Right.
I got a picture of my dad and myself at Notre Dame for a football game weekend. I've got pictures of my granddaughter who's 6 months old. So yeah. Oh,
fantastic.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, so I guess when you come in, you kind of, in my office, you probably get an idea of the type of person that I am and maybe some of the things that interest me.
Yeah, no. And that's such a simple way to let it out there. Because then, you know, they're asking you, you know, what's up with the clown in the golf picture? You're like, I don't know either, man, but it's a pretty funny picture. You know? Like,
and I'm scared to death of clowns.
Right,
so yeah.
Right. Yeah. No wonder I shanked that shot. But you know, that's such an easy way for people that are especially tend to be more introverted or don't want to feel like they're bragging or whatever. You know, it's just like, these are just things that bring me joy to look at. And you're coming into my world.
Right.
So you get to look at them too, sort of a thing. Do you feel that any of this, well, like you said, I mean, the hiking, you know, you can find common ground with people. Do you feel like it makes you a better accountant or better business person? All these extracurricular activities?
I think anytime you can broaden your perspective on the world, and then you see both the significance and insignificance in what you do.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you know, what we do is significant. I mean, I know it kind of sounds silly, but, you know, we take complex tax rules and regulations and try to make them more simple, more digestible for people that are trying to run a business and they're trying to employ people and they're trying to accomplish a task. And by us handling our side of the job, they can feel free to kind of do their thing. So you realize what we do is significant and I'm compensated for it and handsomely so. But then there's this other part of your life that I think needs to develop and flourish for you to kind of then return with your batteries charged to what you do. So when you're standing in the vastness of the Grand Canyon, mm-hmm. and you're looking up at the sky and you can see millions of stars, you realize that just as a person, there's a, you're somewhat insignificant. But then when you look at the relationships you have in your personal life, you are significant. So it's kind of that yin and yang of understanding your place in the universe. I think that that when I, that I experienced that a year ago, and it was somewhat mind-blowing, really, because until then, you kind of, we all have this somewhat feel maybe at times that the world kind of revolves around us. And I've got two children, and I think each one of them went through that period that they thought the world revolved around them. But, you know, at some point you realize it doesn't. So, yeah, it was a tremendous experience, though. Really was.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, especially CPAs and I'd say partners, that could probably do a lot of good for people to realize that. Yeah. It doesn't always revolve around you. You know, there's a, And I mean, I'm sure part of you was sitting down there like, I wonder who does the taxes for those stars. We could probably get a little business. Like, you know,
Do they have an alternative taxing regime? Right. Another galaxy out there? I mean, is there a better way to do this?
All flat tax. No, but I mean, that's so profound. I mean, you know, for you to be able to unplug and to just, you know, really, just be engrossed in that and to think like, wow, yeah, you know, to really even consider that is really fantastic, and really cool. And then, yeah, you're able to come back and share that with people, you know, about it and some pictures if they ask or things like that. That's really cool. And so is this something that you were always open with from the beginning of your career?
I guess I was, just because I'm just not really good at pretending to be, or I'm not saying that people pretend to be somebody else. I'm really just kind of an open book, and I always have been. And I don't, not saying that that's the best quality in the world, because sometimes I can probably come off like, well, you know, who does this guy think he is? But it's just easier for me to just relax in an environment and just say, this is what I am. And if this isn't right, I'll move someplace else. But I really don't know any other way to be. And I think it was partly because my parents were so diligent about making me always be kind of honest and open with who I am and what my values are. And I never really lost that. I'm not saying I've always been true to everything, but I think fundamentally I am my parents' child, and have tried to be just very forthright with who I am and what I am. So,
yeah, no, I mean, that's, I mean, I tell people I was just too dumb to know any different, you know? I mean, it's just, this is me, you know? I mean, I didn't know we were supposed to be something else. I mean, you know, cause I mean, the firm hired me, so I'm going to be me, you know, like, that's what's so crazy to me is, you know, the firm didn't hire the pretend you, so be you, you know? I mean, you know, everybody's got some really cool things and really great assets that you can leverage for your own career and for the firm's benefit. And, not everybody's showing up to the table with all that. So, yeah, I mean, that's, it's very similar where it's like, I didn't know any other way, you know, type of thing. And so is it something that does BKD do anything specifically to encourage this or make it that kind of a culture, or is it something that's more of a, you know, case by case basis, I guess, within offices or what have you?
Well, I think all the firms try to encourage work life balance, right?
Right.
So if that's part of the conversation, and again, it's public accounting, so there are times when work life balance is a little bit skewed toward the work rather than the life.
Sure.
But, you know, we also have all kinds of activities within the community that you can participate in. There's ample vacation time to take. And then every fifth year, partners get a sabbatical where we get a month off, and you pretty much have to, you have to decompress because there's nothing to do. They kind of unplug you. Email, you really kind of are almost like in a Amish shunning ceremony. You are thrown out there for a month, and you will disappear, and we will see you in a month. And it's really, it takes you a couple of days before you're kind of itching to like check email, but you know, once you get into a rhythm, you know, after about, you know, 3.5 weeks, you're like, okay, I really don't want to go back for a little while because you're kind of enjoying this. But
I don't think it's ever
backfired where somebody never actually came back from their sabbatical. But
I forgot where the office was. I forgot. Yeah. Back.
They changed the door codes.
Right.
So, but yeah. That, you know, the ability to take a trip, we took a trip as a family, a year and a half ago, went to Europe, and, my daughter at the time was 14, and my wife and I, our son is married and lives in Chicago. He couldn't go, but, you know, my wife and daughter and I got to spend 2.5 weeks in Europe, and you know, that's a life-changing perspective, particularly for a 14-year-old girl who's looking at, you know, we're in Austria, we're in Switzerland, we're in Germany, right. And she, you know, it really broadened her horizons too. And it was time that you know, time is that most precious commodity, as we all kind of know as we get older, that
right.
To spend time with people and to give them your almost undivided attention for an extended period of time and then to experience new things together, that's priceless. So I'm very appreciative to the firm for having that, because it's a great opportunity. I can't wait for another 3.5 years to go by before I can go back and take another sabbatical.
Right. So. Right. Yeah. And I think that's also really cool too, because, then it shows you that, you know what, it's okay. The firm is going to be okay if you take a month off. I think so many people are so nervous to take vacation because, oh, everything's going to fall apart when I'm away. And it's like, ah, calm down. I mean, you know, like, you know, you're not the only person that makes the ship go. So, that's really cool. And so one thing that I kick around in my head, because one day I decide one thing and the other day the next, but there's something else. But how much do you think it's on the organization to create that culture where it's okay? Or how much is it on the individual, like you and I accidentally did, to just be themselves, you know?
That's interesting, because I'm sure that at BKD, just like it was at PwC, maybe it's kind of an office by office feeling. You can try to have a culture that is expansive and covers everything, but you know, you're always going to be in a different office with different leadership. So some of it is the tone at the top. Mm-hmm. So I guess you could imagine being in an office that just didn't welcome that, or I don't know what that would be like, to be honest with you, but I think it's really incumbent upon me as an individual when I interviewed at BKD to try to get a feel for, is this the type of organization that's going to be able to accept me as me? And then once I got here, I kind of felt like, okay, now part of my responsibility is to create a culture where these other people can come in and feel comfortable being who they are and knowing that it's kind of a safe environment, and we're gonna welcome that.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic, man. I mean, that's really great, because I mean, we need more of that. You know, and I guess, do you have any words of wisdom to anyone listening that maybe they're afraid to open up and share, or maybe they're partners that think that, you know, if you're not billing work, then why are you here type of thing?
You know, so much of that hopefully comes through when you're interviewing, and you can kind of feel out those firms and their personalities. It really generally is somewhat representative. The people that you send out to do interviews are hopefully the types of people that are excelling in the organization, which gives you an idea that maybe that's the type of person that is welcome in that organization, and that might give you a read. But, you know, occasionally you end up in a situation where maybe that's not the case. But the great thing about what we do is, and it's encouraged now more than ever, even by the firms themselves, is developing your own brand. You are your own best ambassador, and you can pick up and go someplace else. But, you know, certainly try to be the best you can in the environment you're in. I think you'll be surprised that most people gravitate toward that. And if they don't, you know, you're portable. You've got that great skill set between your ears that can pretty much take that anywhere you want to go.
Yeah, I agree totally, because, you know, it's one of those things where I think as accountants, we're always asking for permission before acting. And, you know, we're always scared or afraid, or no one's ever done that or whatever. But you're so surprised that when you're just you and you're genuine and authentic and excited about something, other people are also excited for you, or they feel that energy and they feel that aliveness, I guess, you know, and people are naturally gravitated towards that. I think we're our own worst enemy in that, our own biggest barrier to overcome is just get out of our own way, you know? So no, that's awesome, man. I think it's fantastic. And I always love catching up with you. Now that I have my 17 rapid fire questions, I'm not sure if we can hang out unless we, catch a Notre Dame football game. We're going to be there for like all day. So we need to make sure that we can hang out and not stir any trouble up too much with the ushers.
No guarantees there, my friend. No guarantees.
Down in front. Everyone's got to stay seated. It's like, if you've ever been to a Notre Dame football game, that joke's hilarious. but here we go. 17 rapid fire questions. Let me fire this machine up here. All right, here we go. I'll start you out with an easy one. Easy one. Favorite color?
Blue.
Blue. All right. How about a least favorite color?
Orange.
Yeah, that's good answer. Are you more Star Wars or Star Trek?
Oh, I see. We all want to live long and prosper, but we also want the Force to be with us. Let's see. I'm going to say Star Trek.
Okay. Interesting. All right. But when it comes to computers, are you more of a PC or a Mac?
PC.
Yeah, totally. And when it comes to a mouse, would you say you're left click or right click?
Always a right clicker.
Yeah. That's where the fun stuff is, right?
Yeah.
How about, do you prefer more hot or more cold?
Oh, cold.
Cold. Okay. How about when it comes to toilet paper, over or under on the roll?
I used to be under. I've gone over, actually.
How about since you're more balance sheet or income statement?
Balance sheet.
Balance sheet. There you go. How about a favorite food?
Grilled fish taco.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of one of my more recent thing. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, absolutely. Would you say you're more pens or pencils?
Pens. Then I don't make as many mistakes.
Oh, nice. Okay. All right. How about, do you have a favorite number?
Okay. So I usually go either 3 or 16 because Joe Montana wore both of those. So.
Right. Yeah. No, that's a fair answer. Absolutely. Would you say you're more Sudoku or crossword puzzle?
Oh, that's a toss-up. I do them both.
Okay. How about, do you have a favorite band?
Rolling Stones. No question about it.
Nice, man. Nice. We got four more. Are you more cats or dogs?
Dogs. Yeah.
Okay. All right. How about, do you have a favorite actor or actress?
Favorite actor? Probably Harrison Ford. He's just strong in everything he does. Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And really good movies too. Yeah, totally. All right. Are you more of an early bird or a night owl?
Night owl by far.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And the last one is the favorite thing you own or the favorite thing you have?
My family.
Your family. Yeah. That's a slam dunk. Well, cool. Well, thanks so much, Tom. This was awesome. And it was so great to catch up with you again and have you be a part of the Green Apple Podcast.
Thanks, buddy. God bless. We'll see you hopefully soon.
Wow. That was so much fun. I just loved how Tom said that the barriers that prevent you from deep relationships melt away if you're being genuine. And I couldn't agree more, and I can honestly vouch for the fact that Tom is an absolutely perfect example of this. And all you can do is be the best you that you can be, and people will respect that. If you'd like to see some pictures of Tom from his hike in the Grand Canyon or connect with him on social media, be sure to go to greenapplepodcast.com. And while you're on the page, click that big green button and do the anonymous research survey about firm culture. Thanks again for subscribing on iTunes or whatever app you use for sharing this with your friends so they get the message that we're all trying to spread, which is to go out and be a green apple.